very briefly was, we left Sunbury when I was in the eighth grade and went to live. My grandfather died, and we went to Hertford with an aunt and uncle and our grandmother. And we enjoyed the Hertford schools very much. Hertford is one of the most delightful little towns you've ever seen in your life. Of course, we had to be restricted. We couldn't go to the post office together because we'd fight on the way, they said. And she'd go one time and I'd go the next. But we'd not do what they thought was right. And we loved Hertford and made very good grades there and went then to live with our father, who was in Wilson. And we graduated from high school in Wilson in 1931. And we were both at the top of our class. So we were all right. And we thought to go to med school. That encouraged us, you know.
Sure. You must have been very young, too. You probably
We weren't 18. I think we were 17. We were born in April, you see. And we were 16 in April and then 17 the following April, I think.
When you finished high school?
When we finished high school. We finished in 31, I'm sure. So that's 16. That's right. We were 16 and then 17. But the thing was, it was time for us to go to college, and my father didn't have the money. And we had always planned to go to Trinity College. Trinity College was now Duke University. We went to apply at Duke, and at that time, ministers' daughters got free tuition.
Sure.
And we thought that would be wonderful. And our father added up the amount of money. There wasn't any way he could do it without borrowing, and that was the Depression. And he began to look at other colleges. And he was a real good friend of Robert Wright's. And he came and talked it over with Dr. Wright, and Dr. Wright told him that for what he would get for his money, which was good college education, would be $90 a quarter, and that's what we paid. East Carolina College. We took a business course and came and we typed our way through college. And we did well. We almost paid the whole thing. We had a little bit when our mother died. The community was very much touched. He was pastor of several churches and people sent money in, and we each had $150 each that just out of the kindness of people's hearts. And he used that. And he just didn't even have the money to buy food, hardly. Our maid worked for food, that's all. She didn't get any money for a while there. But anyway, he got it settled that we'd go to East Carolina, and we went for 3 years and got our degrees. And then we taught a year in order to have enough money to go to Duke. We went up to Duke for our interview, and you've never seen such a cold interview in your life. They did not want us. We weren't prepared. And they could not accept our comparative anatomy. They could not accept our physics. They could not accept our organic chemistry. But we had A's on them. But it really wasn't acceptable, and I know it wasn't, and I'm mighty glad we went to Duke. And Elizabeth Anderson, who was there, was a friend of the family, and she told my father, well, they can go as special students. They got us a job in the dining room, and we typed ministerial things, and went to Duke. And we had a good year at Duke, comparative anatomy, and organic chemistry came out all right, so we were a little bit more encouraged. So we applied at Duke, and they refused us, and that broke our hearts. And she was typing the thesis one night, and I went over to the library and looked up all the places I thought we could go. And I applied at 5 places for both of us. I had all of our grades and everything there. And we heard from 2 of them right away. One was Medical College of Virginia, and one was Woman's College in Philadelphia. And we decided on Medical College of Virginia, and we were thrilled. And so we went, and we still don't know why they took us. But they took us, and we enjoyed our work there.
You were apparently accepted before Fred was, though. He got the last place.
Yeah. Well, I think we were accepted the same year, so we were bound to have been accepted before he was.
Yeah, you were.
We were both there.
Only one place left.
Now, in raising the money for medical school, we were in no trouble. Our grandfather's estate had left us each enough to go to med school 4 years. I don't know how much it was. I was telling Fred today, I think it was just $5,000. With the other food there. Don't you think that was about what it was?
I wouldn't guess that because I don't know.
Well, we don't know what it was. But we had the money. And we went, our uncles, and we had three uncles that had grown up in the home with us. Uncle Carson, the one that's there, was a bishop in Georgia. And
this Uncle Carson was the first owner of a book that we have, that you've given us for the Health Science Library collection. It's called From My Youth Up, and it's by Margaret E. Sangster.
I didn't know he was that, but I'll get that one. It's, but anyway, we had Uncle T.C., who was a banker, and finally when he died, he was treasurer and officer at Greensboro College. And we had Uncle Colston and then Uncle Isaac, who had his Ph.D. It delighted Sunbury. When we went to school in Sunbury, we were the first children that had ever been in school whose both parents had graduated from college. So they expected a lot of us. And Uncle Isaac showed his Ph.D. just like it was a trophy that he got.
He
got it. But he was so thankful that he had it. And he died. He had flu during the war and left with complications. But Uncle T.C. and Uncle I were in the First World War. I have their letters, which are valuable, I'm sure. And
now, you mentioned that your grandparents instilled the values and some of the personality of your mother in you two girls.
Right. They tried.
What did they tell you about your mother? You said she had a college degree.
Oh, she taught school in Whiteville. They told us some wonderful things about our mother, but they told us this, and I should have told you. When our father married Mother Marie, which was the one he brought home when we were 5 years old, they told us that was our angel mother. And we didn't have sense enough to know any better for some time. They had a good attitude about it, was the thing. And she was a likable person. But they taught us, well, if she didn't want me to do something, she'd tell me that my mother wouldn't do it. But when we went to get immunizations, typhoid and smallpox, they were the only two we had to have. Two doctors in the community were both cousins of my grandmother. We went to get the immunizations, and after they took Ilza, and then they took me, and then they said, she's more nervous, talking about me. And the doctor said, well, it's sometimes they are. And my grandmother said, well, this one is the most nervous of the two. Now, that was a bad characteristic I had, but she didn't tell me that it was bad. She had said so much good that I thought it was good. And I was ready to tell people I was nervous.
It meant raring to go, didn't it?
That's right. And that's the way human nature is.
Yes, listen, ready. Well, what about those two physician cousins you had? That's quite something.
Oh, well, they were George Brooks. You don't know the state, but he was the son of Judge Brooks from Elizabeth City, who was the one who evened up the trouble after the war between the states. He ran the carpetbaggers out.
Oh, I see.
And made things much better.
I was going to say, that was probably a good thing to do.
His wife was Maggie Colston. My grandmother was named Colston. And the other one was Corbell. And his wife was in Pickett's charge. His wife's father was in Pickett's charge. They were people that knew people there.
Yeah. Pillars of the community, it sounds like.
Well, they were just folks like us all. But in fact, you know, Gates County was settled by neighbors from Kent County that came together five or six of them. So as the Jordan man tells me, he's in Raleigh now, but they're all kin and they don't even know how much kin, because the Jordans and the Colstons and the Harrells in America.
It happens.
It happens.
It's legal between cousins.
I know it. And there's some cousins there that I married that we're a little concerned about, but they have the brightest, nicest children.
That's great. What do you remember, you and Fred both, about medicine while you were growing up? Did any of your brothers and sisters have serious health problems or even minor things that they had to go to the doctor for?
Fred was in a sterile environment. He had all the children's diseases when he was teaching school.
Oh, you weren't exposed to them until...
He was.
Until you became a teacher at the hospital.
Right. I had chicken pox when I was teaching school. Also, measles, I reckon. No, I didn't have any teaching school. I had that beforehand. I had flu right frequently, but all I had.
Did you get special medical care when you had the flu, or did you just get over it?
Well, I fortunately, I had all the care that was available at that time.
Which was bed rest.
Yeah. Dr. Gilchrist would come and see me and give me some little something that made me more comfortable. And Mother would fix the Vicks vapor rub and put it around me.
My children beg for that. I had sort of forgotten that as a traditional remedy, but they'll say, Mom, could we have some Vicks? Do we have Vicks?
They felt relief.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What about you, Dr. Irons? Did you and Iza?
Well, we didn't have many illnesses. I had malaria, and that was common in that area. And, you know, you stopped it with quinine, but the quinine broke me out, so that wasn't satisfactory. But I had diphtheria, and they gave her the antitoxin, and my father insisted that they give it to her. And both my grandfather and grandmother felt like she didn't need it, but praise the Lord, she had it. She did not have diphtheria. I was the puny one, they called it, until we were about 12 years old. Then she began to have more things than I did.
Did your uncles look after you then?
Oh, well, our uncle's precious heart. They slept upstairs, but when they came in from their dates, they'd pick us up and carry us up. Warm foot in the bed. But they were dear. They really were. And, well, when my family in 1900, Uncle Colston, the one that's there, was ready to go to college, and there wasn't any college near. So the family moved to Durham, and they stayed in Durham until 1906 or 1907, until children were finishing college, and my mother went to college then too, and Uncle Isaac, who was the one that got his PhD, and Tom Harrell, the younger son, didn't go to college at all. He was so far low in school, so he had to go to college after they were back at Sunbury.
And Sunbury, were they farmers in Sunbury?
They were all farmers. There wasn't anybody else. There were those two doctors. There was a preacher. The Episcopal preacher was named Green, and the Damascus church, that was Christian church, was named White. The Methodist preacher was named Black, and Mr. Brown was in the Baptist church, and they had all those churches. I've been wanting to talk to Lawson about the churches. He was down in Gates County a while, and he's so interested in the influence the church has on people's well-being as to how much church going helps people. Of course, I really believe it does, but then I would be twisted that way anyhow because my own father was there.
Sure. Well, do you remember, we've mentioned Vicks, and we know that you had, Dr. Moline, you had... Well, professional health care. Dr. Fred, were there people who helped with healing and making people more comfortable in the absence of a physician when you grew up?
thought so. But you'd be a family. Mm-hmm. Mother didn't have flu, so she took care of all of us.
But they were all sick, the whole family. And that was that awful time. And during that time, that was 1918, and I was 3 and 4. My grandmother had to go to my aunt and uncle who were in Norlina, and they were all sick, and their son, Harold, was sick, and they were all suffering, and they had to stay 2 weeks. You see, you couldn't get that well right quick. They had to have a week or 2 week recuperation.
Sure did. That's right.
And Lord, when the mamas had babies, they stayed in bed 2 weeks and they couldn't move. The lady that came to nurse us was resting and so upset that our mother had died. And her husband came in, she filled a buggy up with food for the family. You know, they lived down the road. And she had not gotten out of bed for 2 weeks. She had a child. And she'd sent him off. And after he went off, she was ready to go when he came back. And he came back and she
sent her husband off.
She sent her husband off with the food and then got in the buggy and went. And she said, I was the baby that didn't cry when he was born. Isa cried. But we were, you know, just babies. And she fed Isa, and then she fed me, and I took so much, and I hadn't taken anything since, for a day and a half, I hadn't taken a thing. And she said, this is it, I'm coming. And she came twice a day. She came twice a day.
She fell in love with you two babies.
Yeah, and she had a baby, too. And then my uncles carried us in the middle of the day. They fed us 3 times a day. My uncle had the buggies packed up. They had a big basket in which they put babies and wrapped them up. And they carried the babies the middle of the day.
You were clearly surrounded by so much love.
We couldn't have helped. I said that our grandmother had a hard time feeding us because anything we didn't like, she'd move it. She was so eager to please us, you know. And we had to end up every meal with bread, butter, and sugar on top because it wouldn't be a good meal if we didn't. And I remember her doing that. She got a wonderful lady, though, from the orphanage who was graduating from the orphanage and wanted to live in a home and be useful. And she had her... this is a long story. Shut it off and I'll tell you what happened to her. Okay.
Dr. Moline, I understand that your grandmother read to you a great deal when you were a child. What did she read?
She read many interesting books. Secret Garden, Hans Brink on the Silver Skates. Of course, she read the Bobbsey Twins and read a lot of those. And Louisa Alcott's books we read together. But she started reading to us when we were 4 or 5, and we both could read well before we were 5 and a half. We were loved to read, and still do.
Did you have books in the home?
We had many books in the home. You see, Uncle Isaac and Uncle Colston had books in college, and they were there. And we didn't have so many downstairs, but they were in their rooms. We could get them when we wanted them. And the children had the books that we brought. And she read Dickens to us. We read Charles. We read 5 or 6 of Charles Dickens, and there were books that we all enjoyed. But if we didn't understand a word, she'd stop and explain it. Or she'd call my grandfather, and he'd explain it. But we read in the parlor, and we sat in the dining room. So reading in the parlor was very nice.
It was comfortable?
Mm-hmm. The furniture we had in the parlor's in there.
You have it with you now?
I have 2 pieces. I'll show it to you.
Your grandmother's furniture.
It was my grandmother's furniture.
So, Dr. Fred, you've been quiet for a while. Do you have anything to add to this conversation before we finish it up today?
I don't believe so.
You're all set?
All set.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you so much.
We thank you very, very much.
And you tell Dr. Best what we're doing, and we are interested in what he's doing. And what I know is Dr. Devathan said that Dr. Menjes and I integrated the hospital, and I knew it was Dr. Best and me, but I didn't correct him.
When did he say that? When did Dr. Trevathan make that statement?
To the Rotary Club.
Oh, long time ago?
No, this week.
Oh, this week. All right.
And see, Menjes was a great guy, and he was just as much for integration as Earl and Dr. Best and I were. But he was not.
He wasn't right there pushing.
Right there, and Dr. Best was, and I know he was, and I know he suffers when he doesn't get credit. And, you know, it really doesn't matter.
I'll tell him.